Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. And I would suggest that Heidi is due of our esteem and honor as anybody I know. Please welcome her as she comes to our pulpit.
Amen. You're so sweet. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're so blessed. We're so honored. We're so thrilled, Jesus, to be here in this house that is so just wanting more and more and more of you, to pour out more and more and more of you. Lord God, let's just pray the Spirit. Is it okay? I think it is. Shelalalabasori andaya. Lord, we thank you, God, for all these plants, these church plants, God, may they multiply. Bless God, Pastor Mac, bless Pastor Lynn, bless their phenomenal team, Lord God, Yerakiaya. Bless Jeff and David, Lord. Bless the team, God, all around that just keep going. Shela la Messiah. Lord, I pray, Jesus, we would eat of you and drink of you. Lord, that we would eat of you and drink of you, Jesus. I thank you for Joseph and Sean and Hannah, God. I thank you for Rabashea. I thank you for Rick, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for your people, God. I thank you for the Asian Eagles, Lord, that are rising up with a sound, Lord, the holy, holy sound, Lord, of intercession, Lord, of a holy, holy sound, God. We thank you for the harvest, Lord. We thank you for the harvest, Lord. And I ask God, Lord, in these minutes, Lord God, would you just go ahead and multiply. What I see right now is the Lord's going to take the little lunches, the little lunches. I was praying and I was, oh God, what do I share, Lord? What do I share? What do I share, Lord God? I'm so grateful for Leif praying for me and Lynn praying for me. I was like, God, Hannah praying. We need the body of Christ. We need team. We need family. We need people that pray for us, that lift us before the throne of God, before the throne of grace. And I was like, Lord, Lord, Lord. I was praying about it, preaching from John 4. And like just preached from John 4. I'm like, okay, hallelujah. Shakarava. What now, Lord? Shakarava Sekiriaya. And I just like, oh Lord, I just saw something happening. So as I saw something happening, I see it in the spirit that the Lord's about to multiply the little lunches that are laid on the altar. It's like you can look at your little lunch and say, oh, it's too pitiful. It's too small. My life is too small. My lunch is too pitiful with the needs. You hear like if you were here and you heard how many billions of people there are that don't know the Lord. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And you could run and hide, or you could just run out into the darkness to carry the light of God's glory, love. So Jesus, here we go. And I feel, my eyes are still closed, but I feel like doing this because of the time. I feel like the altar call is like, it's just going to be open the whole time. Okay. Yes, Lord. The reason I feel this is because God's just going to continue to multiply little lives that are laid down. And there's some key about this altar call. And Randy, he so taught us so well on this. Like I'm a little, I know I'm a daughter of the Most High, but I'm like a little donkey that he gets to ride in on. And I'm like a little post person. I get to deliver mail. But he's the one who delivers it. Shiarabakaya. And I feel like there's something today where lives are going to be so laid down on this altar. Like every part, not anything left back. Nothing left back. Like all you are, all you have, every bit of you just laid on the altar. And I see the Lord just, hey, what he's going to do. Shiarabasaya namashaya. He's going to love you to death. He's going to love you to death. And I want to pause there for a moment because the loving to death is absolutely imperative that we get that. He says, I want you to pick up your cross daily and follow me. Hey, we pick up our cross daily and follow him. And there's something about this daily dying to our own ability and our own strength and our own understanding. There's this dying, this complete dying to it, saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. It has to be you, Jesus. It's you, Jesus. You're the bread. And you're the wine, you're the bread, you're the wine that comes from heaven. You are the holy, holy, holy bread and the holy wine. And you are the one, Lord, that makes it all possible. So God, I'm asking you now, I'm asking you for an impartation for these people, Lord. I'm asking you for an impartation for every single man, woman, and child in this building, every man, woman, and child listening now and listening in the future. God, that there would be an impartation, God, where you would take little lives and multiply them for your glory. God, that we would see, Lord God, Sherekia Rabasaya. I also see right now, I see the Lord, I hear the Lord saying, I want you to lay down your fishing pole. I want you to lay down your fishing pole. There's so much anointing on this. This is coming from heaven. I'm hearing it. I want you to lay it down. It's harvest time. It's time for nets. Hey. There's a harvest in Asia that the world has never seen. Holy is the Lamb. There's a harvest in the Middle East that the world has never seen. Holy is the Lamb. And Lord, in his great grace, is going to bring such a harvest in the United States. Where seeds that have fallen to the ground, are going to begin to bear much fruit. Thank you, Lamb of God. Wow. Wow. It's harvest time. So, Lord, here we are. I feel the tap. And I feel the tap and I obey, Lord, and I feel your presence, Lord. I am so thankful for your presence, God. And if you're on this altar, or you're in an altar in your heart where your heart is just laid before the Lord, maybe you can't even get to this altar. Maybe there's no room here, but there's an altar. The Lord has an altar. This is a place today. It's lay down your pole. Lay down your pole. There's something about the I moving to the we. Yeah. the I moving to the we. You can carry a pole, you can fish with a pole, and you'll catch one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. Or you can take the net together with his people. Holy is the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb. There's time for nets. It's time for nets. It's time for nets. And the Lord himself is going to tell his people, boat after boat after boat after boat after boat after boat after boat, nation after nation, city after city, place after place, boat after boat after boat after boat after boat after boat. There are going to be boats and boats and boats and nets and nets and nets, and the harvest is coming in. Shela basekiriataya. We heard the word of the Lord. The times are shaking and quaking and shekaraba kote yanaya. But there is a time, shalabasaya, of harvest coming. Harvest coming that the world has never seen. Never seen. It's never been seen before. It is a great and a mighty harvest. And there will be no place, no place, no place where the harvest is not brought in. Shekalabasikiriya. And the Lord is saying over his people, it is this second part of John 4. Do not say 4 months more. Hey, and then the harvest. The fields are ripe for harvest. The fields are ripe for harvest, and now is the time for the harvest. Now is the time. And I hear him again. I hear him again. I hear him again. I hear him again. And I'm feeling this. So I'm just leaning on my beloved. I'm leaning on my beloved. If you're on the altar, maybe even if you're in your seats, I don't know how to do this in my natural mind, but I see, like, just begin to take hands. Take the hands of the ones next to you. Shela basaya. It's like, Lord, we're laying down the poles. And we're taking the hand of our brother, our sister, our brother, our sister, our brother, our sister. And we're going to the fields. We're going, we're going, we're going, we're going. It's like all hands on deck. All hands on deck. We've heard it. We heard it. There's been a theme over these days. It's a 911. It's a all hands on deck. It's a lay down the poles. It's a living water. It's the great and mighty harvest. And it's a take the hand. We need one another. We need one another for this great and mighty harvest. And all eyes, we've been saying it over and over and over again. And I'll say it right now, over and over and over again. All eyes on Jesus. Even now, I feel like the Lord saying, get your eyes off your lunch. Holy, I want you, just hear the Lord saying, I want you to fix your eyes. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Wow. Yes, Lord. More, Lord. Just keep, see, hope. You just keep praying. Just keep praying. You can sit down if you're standing. If you feel like it, Shotorabasaya. I'm so grateful. I'm going home today. If you feel led to sit down, sit down. If you feel right there, you're getting touched. Stay touched. I don't know. Shekaraba. Yeah, some of you just feel, you're feeling, it's like the go time. I'm heading home. I start my journey today. Takes a long time to get home to northern Mozambique. And that version of the video was finished. We showed it yesterday, that version for the first time. And people could say, why are you going back? For one, my husband's there. That's a good thing. But it's because the harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe, and it's, there's something about this Asian eagle thing. It's holy. It's holy. It's holy. And there's something on it. I tell you, it's like a sign. And I don't know. Help me, Jesus. Here it is. I'm going to share from John 6, going from John 4. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him. Why did they follow him? Because they saw the miraculous signs. And he had performed them on the sick, and Jesus went up the mountainside. And he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. He sat down in fellowship. There's something. We need each other. Do you understand? There's this face-to-face, heart-to-heart with Jesus. There's this place of discipleship, this place where we're so connected to Jesus. We're just so face-to-face, heart-to-heart with Jesus. And he was there with his disciples, and he was there with his Father, and there's fellowship, and it's absolutely glorious. And we know who Jesus is. So I actually believe he wasn't overwhelmed. I know if you ask us if we've ever been overwhelmed. Have you ever been overwhelmed? You've ever been overwhelmed? Like, we have to take more food to the grocery store, and I can't even go. Roland goes, we have to take more food to go to the store than we get when we get the food. And you're trying to figure that out. No, there's so many hungry people that you literally can't go in there unless you have enough food to feed 30, 40, 50 people. No joke. I'm just telling you. You could be overwhelmed by the need. You could hear Leif this morning, and you could hear these numbers. How many billion people haven't heard? How many?
1.7 billion have never heard, and 3.4 billion have had little or no access to the gospel.
1.7 billion have never heard, 3.4 billion have had little access to the gospel. Come on. What are we doing? What are we doing? That's why you're planting churches. That's why you're going. Because, see, if you understand who Jesus is, then you will share him. If you know who he is, you cannot help but go. It's not like an effort. It's not like, oh, I have to go. It is this holy hunger within you to go and share. It's a sharing of the gospel. But like we heard over and over, there's a theme through these few days. I'm hearing it. Are you hearing it? Are we hearing it? There's something he's talking about. There were miracles, for one thing. Miracles taking place. Because the miracles were taking place, the people were coming. When miracles happen, people come. I'm telling you, it's true. It's true. They come. And when they come and the Lord's doing amazing things and he's healing, we have a sign gift in northern Mozambique for years. We went to every single village in northern Mozambique, Cabo Delgado. I'm telling you, people would look at us. Even Roland would say, what are we doing? We usually go out further. I said, I don't know. We just have to reach every village in Cabo. And we would have these interesting discussions about it. And then the Lord would send all these foreigners, people like look like y'all. And I would say, Lord, what are you doing? They all want food. They actually, some of them want a mattress to sleep on and things that I was confused by. And I was having a little bit of a frustration about it. I'm like, God, what are you doing sending all these people? People from 43 nations came, and they came to northern Mozambique, and they slept in the dirt. We're talking in the dirt with the... I mean, one little Asian girl, you know, little tiny little skinny little Asian girl, bless her heart. We had a lot of big people come, but there's this one little skinny girl, and she's like wants to preach the gospel, and she fell in the latrine. I was like, oh, Lord, this is so bad. But they picked her up out of the latrine. The Mozambicanos, full of love, they picked her up, and the women surrounded her with their capulanas. This is what covering looks like. And they took off, they stripped her down to wash her off. Why am I telling you that? Because we don't always understand what honor looks like. We don't always understand what honor looked like. That looked like honor. That was a very challenging situation for that little girl. But they were honoring her. By washing her, by honoring her, by washing her, and they covered around her with their capulanas. There are situations in our life we don't understand. I didn't understand why all these people were coming. And one day the Lord spoke to me very clearly. I was watching all the miracles, like God would open all, if you were a Makua or a Makondi, and you were deaf, Makua, Makondi. You can ask anybody. It's been documented. People from Harvard, didn't they? Documented it. They came and they were. I did not want them to come. They said, well, if it's true, then let us come and document it. They brought all their equipment with them. I said, Lord, I don't like this. I'm just telling you. I'm being honest with you. I don't like this. What are they doing with all their stuff? He said, they're scientists. They need signs. He said, will you honor the scientists? I said, yes, Lord. And I remember these scientists, and they came and they hooked up the people. So we find out in a village, could be four, there could be six, depends on the size of the village, how many people were deaf. And they would hook them up and they would test to make sure they were deaf. And I told, I had my little prayer team with me. Little prayer team, emphasis on little. Little prayer team, they didn't have badges or wristbands or anything, just little kids, children that we'd found that were tossed out by people because maybe they didn't look perfect or maybe there wasn't enough food in the house or maybe mom and dad died. Didn't matter, they were there. They were the team. Hey, we need a team. You're going to be surprised who your team is. These are my team. We're there, and the scientists are there hooking up the people. And the people are confused about it. So am I. And I said to the kids, don't touch anyone. Don't touch anyone. The scientists want you to not touch anyone. They need to test. And the children looked at me like, they said, Mom, they're crazy. I said, well, they're scientists and they need a sign and we need to honor them. So don't touch the people until after the scientists do their test. And the children were confused because we've been doing this for years. And the kids now, they just lay their hands on the deaf and the deaf hear and they start to speak. And so that's what we do. And then the crowds come. Then there's tens of thousands at times, 5,000, 1,000, doesn't matter how many thousands. They come because of the sign gifts, they come. So here they're coming. And then finally the scientist would say, okay, they're hooked up. They're really deaf. We're like, anyone in the village knows who's deaf. Like, it's, come on, it's pretty clear. So we're just like, put our hand on them, like little children. Time after time after time, they would hear. And we knew it. That's great. Yes, yay, God, he does it. But this time the scientists got to hear, and for some reason it mattered to them that they had tested it. Do you understand? They somehow needed to test it. So here in John 6, this story, there's a little boy. Remember this story? Do you know it? So there's a huge bunch of people. How many people? A lot of people. 5,000. I don't know who's counting. Plus women and children. Have you ever had a situation like that? What? You haven't? No, you have. So it's a lot of people. And I don't have time to tell you, but you saw some pictures. Anyway, there's a lot of people. They're just, and they're always hungry. And so here you are, and you come to this story, and there's lots of miracles happening. So all these people are just following Jesus. You know, when there's miracles happening, why can't we have the same amount of miracles happening here? We can. It's like, why can't we? We can. There's something about a holy desperation. God, I've got to see. People ask me, why do you see more there than here? And I think there's no backup plans. Like, we don't have a backup plan. We don't have cochlear implants. I love cochlear implants. I think they're a phenomenal thing. I just think the scientists are anointed by God, and they came up with an amazing technology, and I think it's beautiful. For me, it's not either or. We build medical clinics. We believe in medical clinics. One day I was like, no, we don't need medical clinics. Everyone's going to get healed. And the Lord said, honor the medical doctor that I called to the field. I said, whoa, that was like honor the point. I said, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I used to mock medical doctors. And I remember one day, I was in a conference. This is a crazy story. I'm in a conference, and it's a very, you've been to that church. It's really a fabulous church. You know, it's really amazing. If you get knocked out in the spirit and you happen to open your eyes, the whole ceiling's gold-plated for real. One guy got knocked out, and he looked up, and his job had been to clean it, but he'd never looked up. God knocked him up. He knocked out all the ushers. It was really glorious. And I remember the bodies were everywhere and knocked out. Anyway, I was in that church. It's a very, very nice, nice place. And they're having a live recording. Divi, is this live? Is it live? Hallelujah. It was one of those live recording. This church, it was going out to a really big number of people, and they wanted testimony. So one guy comes up, and it's in this other room. It's a big room. This guy comes up, and I recognize him. I'm thinking, oh, I recognize that guy right there. And he gets up, and he said, I was in charge of the medical clinic in Pemba. I went, oh, that's where he's from. There was this woman who felt led to be the director of fun. She was trained in medicine, but she felt led to be the director of fun, and the Lord told me, just release her. And I was still mocking the medical profession. Do you understand? Even though we had a medical clinic, quite a few different ones around the world, different places. So there I was, and I'm still mocking him. And here comes this guy, and he said, well, I was working there in, and he said, Iris. I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus. Did he have to mention the name of the minister? Because I could feel it, like he's not qualified at all. He's this little guy, and he said, so I used to pray when I would treat people, red pill, green pill. Green pill, red pill. I was like, oh, man. And he said, and praise God I never killed anyone. I'm like, oh. And there's nothing I could do about it. And the Lord said, are you ready to honor the medical profession? Because this is what happens when you dishonor. I said, oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Right after that, I think we got 6 very qualified medical doctors. Then we got some more. And now we have Mozambican medical doctors and Mozambican qualified. And they're anointed. And they pray for the sick. And they care for people. And it's just absolutely glorious. I love it. 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 I want to speak to you for a moment about kicking the devil in the head, because I spoke to you before about it. So my sweet baby girl, you were taught, who was it? Joseph was talking about this, about women giving birth. And I'm like, you're a brave man talking about women giving birth. You haven't even been at one. And it's like, yeah, it's a big deal here, this women giving birth thing. So my sweet baby girl, my natural born, we have 2 natural born and 15 adopted kids, and then a whole bunch more that call us mom and dad. So anyway, we have a big family. It's like Sunday after at our house is holy chaos, and everybody's hungry, and they eat, and it's like it takes 2 days to fix it. It's like, it's awesome. We love it. Most of the time. Sometimes we're like, we're getting older. We're like, oh, now it's all the grandkids. I think there's 38 of them in Mozambique, in northern Mozambique. They're just jumping and throwing things and drinking the Coke and the Sprite and the candy, and they just rip it all up. And it's like, oh, it's holy. It is. It's holy. Because they used to all be like, their parents were all orphans. Do you understand? And look at what Jesus did. The spirit of adoption hit these people. And now it's like, go ahead. Open the fridge, drink the Coke, drink the Sprite. Like, it's all available. A lot of us don't understand what's available. And so we just have this orphan spirit, and if I share it, then I won't have it. If I honor, then maybe I won't be as honored. If there's all these things that the Lord wants to work on with us. And so I'm just praying. I'm praying, Lord, what is it you want in these moments, Lord? What is it you want in these moments, Lord? Hey, he wants to multiply himself through your little life. Amen. Just, he does. And if you look at that multitude out there, and then you look inward, you, your little life, your little lunch, your little gift, your little is going to take you out. It's going to take you out. He says, lift your eyes unto the harvest. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't be looking back down there at your little self and your little fishing pole and your little lunch and all the little, because it is little, but he didn't say to focus on you. He said to focus on him. And when we focus on him, then we lay down the pole and we stretch out the nets. Amen. So every victory you have in your life is for a purpose, every one of them. So my little blonde little baby girl, natural born, she's having her baby. Now we are a believing family. Some people would say we're a radically believing family. Probably a supernaturally radically believing family. We're kind of out there radically supernatural believing family. So I decide I'm gonna fly to where she was from Mozambique. I was speaking somewhere, but I'm gonna be there for the birth of this grandson I'm having. We didn't know, we knew, but anyway. No. The first one was a granddaughter. The second one was a grandson. But the granddaughter, we read the book, Supernatural Childbearing. Oh, yes, that sounded awesome. We were very excited about it, and I'm on a schedule. You know, I have a few things on my calendar, and I'm speaking to this child in the womb. Come out now in Jesus' name. Be born. This is the time. And my daughter's like, yes. And her husband's, yes. That was his song on the video, by the way. That was awesome. So anyway, yes, yes, yes. And we're praying. And then we start dancing because we heard dancing helps the child to come out. So we're dancing. We're like having a dancing Holy Ghost dancing party. And Brock singing the music. And we're just in this place. Yay, Jesus, the baby's coming. It's the right time. Resurrection. Like, oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. And we're just like going for it. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. I am a builder. I don't know if you noticed. You don't know me very well, but I'm a builder. So I could not stand being just like, I'm stuck there. I'm in Tennessee of all places. I'm just saying, I'm like, I got a spoon and I started working on their path with a spoon because I could not stand not to build something and they didn't have any tools. So I'm like out there with a spoon trying to build a nicer path. I can't help myself. I have to build something. So I'm waiting. I'm out there trying to build a path, and we're waiting days and days. I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus, how long is this going to take? I love my daughter. I love my son-in-law. I love them, but this is taking too long. Supernatural childbirth. We're confessing. We're claiming. We're like, yes, yes, go, go, now, now. Not happening. Can't remember how long. It was just went on and on and on and on and on. Finally, something's happening. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Get the go, we go. There's like a birthing. It's gonna be so beautiful. There's like a bathtub. There's candles and Brock's beautiful worship music going, and my daughter's there screaming, and it's just beautiful. But we're just believing Jesus, and it's going to be supernatural childbirth. Yay! It's going to be so wonderful and beautiful. And it goes on 10 hours, 15 hours, 20 hours. Ditch the bathtub. Well, the candles were done. Like, this is not what we had anticipated. We had anticipated a supernatural glory. Whew! No pain. Here it comes. See, we had this. You preached about this. We experienced it again this morning with y'all. Like, there's something about intercession. It's not always just Shazam. Sometimes there's a contending. We contend. The entire worship band was out there in the hallway. They got tired. They were out there trying to, you know, keep going. The hospital thought we were a very interesting group of people. They're hearing us, and now there's an emergency, like a super intense emergency, where the guy said it's like red flag. It was all the crazy siren type emergency things going off, the beeping, the buzzing. We were there for such a long time, and now it's a crazy emergency. And I said to everyone, I said, everybody in this room that doesn't have faith, get out here, get out. I was like, talk about a mama, grandma, like, get out right out of there, clear you out. You don't have faith, out. Anybody not getting along, out of this room. Glory's gonna be in hand. I contended. I roared. Talk about intercession. It's like, shit, Indiana. We scared the hospital. We scared them. They were like, oh, who are these people? They rush her in there. They don't have time to do all they're supposed to do. And it had to be an emergency C-section. It was really crazy, crazy situation. But this is the point of the story. the baby lived. My daughter lived, the baby lived. Her name is Zoe Joy Leora. Hey, Zoe Life Joy Leora, bearer of light. We were a little traumatized. You ever been a little traumatized by a situation? My daughter was like, first thing she said, take the name Joy out. We'll just have two names. She said that. Because they gave me the privilege of giving the middle names. And she said, take it out. We'll just have the two. That's good enough. She was so sad. She was happy about the baby. But, you know, this was not a supernatural situation in her mind. And we went to prayer. I feel like this is really important today. We went to prayer. We were seeking the Lord. And we were focusing in on, Lord, there's a supernatural birthing. There's a supernatural harvest, and we want to see it, Lord. But we don't feel like we saw what we wanted to see, and we're confused. Can you be honest enough? See, I could tell you just the glory side, or I could tell you that kind of gutsy side of it, where I will tell you. I've been stoned. And I'm talking about drugs. That was before I was saved. After I was saved, I was stoned. At this same time of year, which you understand. It's a very intense time. In my lower back. And you could say, well, that's a glorious testimony. Here comes back what I have to say to you. Yeah, there are some scars. I could say, perfect love cast out fear. That moment, I did not have perfect love because I did have fear. And it hurt. And I remember screaming and just wondering, what am I, Lord, this is my day, I'm going to die now. And my little girl, this little girl that I picked up in the garbage dump, Evergenia, she's now in heaven. She jumps up on a truck. And these people are very angry right now. They're very, very angry. They're very full of darkness. They're not our enemy. The darkness is going crazy. These are broken little boys, broken little girls with big rocks. This is not a vision. This is me and Shweba. Where I'm going home today. Do you understand? It's going to take me a couple days to get there. I feel like it's important that I'm here right now because America's going to have some shaking. You heard about it. But if we focus on the shaking instead of on the King Jesus, our King Jesus, we're gonna be messed up. We're going to be messed up. We cannot get our eyes off of Jesus, not for a moment. I remember feeling this pain and this fear. And my little girl, she jumps up on the truck and she started screaming, bring me the deaf. I raised her, you see. I found her curled up in a ball on a garbage dump. I raised her, you see. She is no longer an orphan. She knows who she is. She's screaming, bring me the deaf, bring me the blind. I just prayed for a blind man before this whole crazy riot thing started with people who are from another faith that were in an agitated moment, an agitated hour or so. And I just prayed for a blind man. He didn't see. I prayed for him. I prayed for him. Then I asked if he needed anything else. He said he had a headache. I said, oh, they see that in America, like healed headaches. I prayed for his headache. He went away. He was also paralyzed from the waist down. I prayed for his legs. He had like six children and his wife were there. He was wearing a Smurf. Have you ever heard of a Smurf? He was wearing a Smurf t-shirt, capelana. How did a Smurf sheet get all the way to northern Mozambique. It had to go through a lot of containers. I have no idea how it got there, but I thought it's a good thing he can't see what he's wearing. He's wearing a Smurf sheet. So I prayed for him. So when this little girl gets up and they throw sand, they warn you with sand, and then they start throwing the rocks, and she's saying, "Bring me the blind." I'm thinking, don't say that. I just prayed for the blind that didn't see. What are you doing? That's in my head. I couldn't stop her. She was full of fire. She was full of holy fire. She was full of a spirit of adoption. She screamed, "Bring me the deaf, bring me the blind." And one deaf person came up as these people were going very intensely crazy situation. I'm in a lot of pain. I am frightened. There were some foreigners with us. They jumped in the Land Rover and locked the door. And they said they were interceding for us. Bless their hearts. It's true. I was like, I found that out later. I'm like, so good. I love intercession. And I do. Just really better know what you're praying. And don't pray out of fear. Pray out of faith. See Jesus, pray out of faith. So she says this, and this one deaf person came up, and she spits on her fingers, puts them in the ear. They hear. Just like that. Do you know what happened? Just like what happened in this book. All the rocks went down. Just in a moment. Boom. Why? They all knew that person. Do you understand? The rocks went down, and the two big guys, two, three, I can't remember the number. I'm not a counter. They came, they're big, tall guys, so I could tell they were from a different tribe. I didn't know what they were doing in Shweba. Found out later they were like the warlords of Shweba. I was like, they called. They said, "Mama, get over here right now." I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus. And I'm in pain, and I'm just calming down my spirit. Like, wow, God, you did a miracle. Anyway, I'm going to tell you how you kick the devil in the head. So I get over there. I'm in this situation. I get over there. We want supernatural, right? We want supernatural. This didn't feel like a supernatural night until the deaf guy heard. But it felt like a painful night. It felt like when Zoe was born, a confusion. Why did this happen? Why was it like this? Why were the foreigners locking themselves in the truck? Why were we left out here with our little kids in this craziness? And there were some whys in me. Do you ever have a why? So there I am, and I know what time it is, and it's good, and I'm fine. I have a really cool story to tell you about why I'm going to go in a moment and what I'm going to do. It's a very amazing story. So there I am. I'll tell you the first part of the Zoe story. When we were praying, the Lord said, "I want you to build a maternity ward. And I want you to save the lives of thousands and thousands of babies. And that's how you're going to kick the devil in the head." Bam! See, your challenges, your difficulties, if you will learn what the Lord wants you to learn, watch out. It's absolutely incredible. It took us 7 years because we would never pay a bribe. We built Zoe's maternity wing. 7 years it took. My granddaughter is now 8 years old. We have in 1 year birthed hundreds and hundreds of healthy, full of Jesus babies. Prayed for every mother, every child. It is absolutely glorious. They hear the gospel. They get blessed. Like so many have run to Jesus. These were a lot of them people of another faith that were going to have their child on a capilano in the dirt. And now they have the best maternity wing in Cabo Delgado. Ha! Come on, Jesus. Oh, yeah. You can't stop lovers of Jesus. You can't stop lovers of Jesus. Oh, yeah, Al-Shabaab destroyed one of our brand new clinics. Do you know what we did? We just said, watch out. Watch what Jesus is going to do. You just need to satarabatere, fix your eyes on Jesus. What is happening through Sweba and that experience that I had? The Lord spoke to me. I said to him one day, I was just praying, and I pray all the time. I don't like to get locked up. I have been in jail. I don't like it. I don't want to go back. And I don't want someone to put me in a kooky house. But I pray in the spirit all the time. So I'm like, shana-na-na-na-na. And I walk through airports, shakana. But I learned to do it very quietly now. Because it can scare people, you know, like what happened this morning or what happened yesterday when we're in intense intercession. People that don't understand, they're like, what are they doing? They just run out. Or we're just going in. We're going in. We're seeing things. We're going in, and it matters that we go in. It matters that we intercede. So I'm praying. And these three guys, big guys, and I'm still, you know, my nerves, you know what that's like, life, like your nerves are like, and I'm like, oh, calm down, come on, holy shalom of God, hit me now, shalom of God, shalom, shalom, I'm like commanding shalom, as I'm like, yes, hi, what do you want? And they said, you have to build a church now. That's what they said to me. We just got stoned in their village. There wasn't one single church in that village. They had stoned us. The village just ahead where we built our university. Listen to this. You want to... Ha! Watch out what you can do in Jesus' name. The village... This is the coolest story. Why I'm taking the time, because I know you have to hear it. Oh, the village before, Maringanya, they stoned us there, but I did not get hit that day. Do you know why? Three guys of another faith, big rocks, and they're coming and they're ready to beat me as well. Do you know that I felt that? And my son, another son, why? Like Pastor Lynn said, show the video. I'm so glad you did, because otherwise you'd be listening to me thinking, is she just like making this up? My son, who I found on the street, when he was a teenage boy, just kind of preteen, like 12, he was with me on that outreach, and he didn't have a ride, but he felt the Holy Spirit tell him he needed to go. So he stood on the street corner in Pemba waiting for a ride. He hitchhiked his way to Maringanya. And when these guys came after me, he did this. He stood in front of me and them, and he did this. He said, Mom, get in the truck now. I said, no. Because I did not want him to get beaten. This is my son. I'm like, no. He said, get in the truck now. Go. And I am just like, my heart is racing. I don't know what to do. He puts his arms up like that. I get in the truck. I drive to the police station. They came with their AKs out, their machine guns out of there. This is like, we're talking within 5 minutes of where we live, where I'm going home today. They came out and I said, don't shoot anybody, don't shoot anybody. It was at this time, the same time of year, right now, this time. I said, don't shoot anybody. Love wins. I told him that. Then the truck comes down with two beaten people, bloody beaten people. It was D'Lo and one of our pastors who decided he didn't want to be a pastor that day. They were beaten very, very badly. I said, love wins. Those same people, this beautiful church we had, it looks a lot like the churches you built. They took it down. I'm driving by miraculously. By the way, Dilo said to me, he said, Mom, that was the greatest privilege I've ever had in my life. And he's bloody, he's beaten. He said, I was beaten for you and I was beaten for Jesus. And I was like, okay, that's another level. That's another level. When there's team and when there's family and when there's love, you go through things together. Do any of you ever feel like you've been beaten? Have you ever had a challenge? I mean, you have. There's not a single man, woman, or child alive that hasn't had a challenge. They tore down the church. They took away the rocks from the foundation. They raked it clean. They raked it clean. I was driving past to where I was going to go pray over this property. The Lord speaks to me about building and property, and I'm driving past, and I look, and I went like this, where's the church? I must have missed it. So I turned my truck around, and I went back, and it was gone. But there was no foundation. It was completely gone. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? The answer was not cry. He did not say to me, just cry, feel bad, be miserable. Maybe you should give up. Go live somewhere else. Go live in Singapore. It's sane. That's time. You know, I'm just being honest. He didn't say that to me. He said, get on your headlamp and dig. Do y'all know what a headlamp is?
Yes.
I got a headlamp on. I have headlamps because we do a lot of outreach. I got on a headlamp. I talked. We probably had 150 pastors there. We were training at least, maybe more. I don't know. I mean, it's nighttime. We go to sleep in Mozambique around 8. So this is already after 8. It's dark. It's late. There's no electricity at that time in that village. And the Lord spoke to me, said, go talk to your pastors. I said, okay. So I go there and I said, all right, guys, who's going to dig with me? Because I'm going to go right now and dig a new foundation. I think it's important for you to understand this is not a vision. This is not a vision. This actually happened real time, real space, Maranganya and Shweba. And Zoe. And Crystal and Joy. Leora. Hey! So I go. I get a katana. I forgot the English word. I think in three languages. Like a hoe and a machete. I get a hoe and a machete. I call. I said, how many pastors want to come with me? Anybody who could fit in the truck, jump in the truck. It looked like this altar call. They jumped in the truck. They jumped in the truck. And they're like, maybe. They weren't always polite about it. They like this. You know, it's so holy. It's holy. They're like, me, I'm getting in the truck. I'm getting in the truck. And they pushed, and then extra people got in the truck. And I'm like, the police can't get us now because we're going. And I mean, we started singing and digging, singing and digging, singing and digging, singing and digging. And we dug a new foundation for a better church, a better church with better walls that are really sturdy. We built now 3 very, very anointed churches in Shweba, absolutely full of the glory of God, feeding tens of thousands of internally displaced people out of Shweba and Maranganya. I don't even know how many wells now, at least 20 wells in that area where they could see the living water flowing. Talk about living water. They're seeing it flow, 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 flow. Then, oh, this is so cool. Because, see, you sometimes look at your challenges, or you can look at America, or what's shaking, what's breaking. You've been freaked out by it. Or you can look to the eyes of Jesus and ask him what to do, and he'll show you. And I'm telling you, we made friends. One of the guys that came after me that day, he's one of my buddies now. He's one of my buddies. Do you want to know where we just got? Just now landed in Cabo. Landed right where we live. Well, they landed in Nacala. They had to be trucked down and people had to risk their life to get them there. Do you want to know where we just got 27,000 audio solar Bibles from? The underground church in China. 27,000. Do you understand? The Word of God transforms people. It is Word and Spirit. The underground church in China. Amen. Last part of my story, I think. I think it is. It's a last part. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to ride a horse before I get on the plane. Do you know why? Because a cowboy named Rick years ago heard the Lord to buy me this big black horse. Well, he didn't know why, and I was at a conference in Red Deer, Canada. And I was in it. It was another nice building. It was a ballroom, a big fancy ballroom, and I was face down like usual. I was face down worshiping, praying in the spirit, and the pastor tapped me. And you could tap me anytime. I'm very obedient. And he tapped me, just this little tap. And he said, "Get up." I said, "Yes, yes, Pastor." And I didn't know why. I thought, I don't know. I didn't know, but I'm obedient. So he said, "Get up and get out. Now, get outside." I said, "Yes, yes, okay." He said, "There are cowboys outside." I said, "What?" He said, "Cowboys. There's cowboys, cowboys outside." I said, "Okay. I don't know why I'm supposed to get up now. I mean, I think I'd already preached. It's all kind of a swirl. I don't know. I said, okay." So he taps me. I go outside. I don't know if Rick's here. Are you here?
I'm here.
Okay. Where is he? Oh, hi, Rick. There's one of them. You came with, there were three of you, two guys and a girl. Is that correct? Yep. Okay. Stand up because I didn't plant you there. Just stand up. He's a real one. Okay. And why am I telling you why I'm going to ride this horse? Do you still have your hat? You're in church, but you have it? It's bowed back. So he had a hat on. I'm in Red Deer, Canada in a ballroom. And he said, "Go outside." And I get out. And he said, "Howdy, ma'am," something like that. "Howdy, ma'am." I don't know. You have language and things. I said, "Howdy." And then he said, "The father said you wanted a horse, a black horse or something." I'm like, when I was 12, I was not born again. My mother had episodes with demons, but we didn't know what they were, but she had severe episodes with demons. I was a 12-year-old girl. I had private cello, private ballet. I had acting. I had voice. I had skiing. I was about to spend a year in Switzerland. I had a life like that. I was green breaking a stallion named Buster. I was doing too many things, you know, that you should probably, anyway, I like to go fast. And I'm doing this, and my mom comes to pick me up, and I said, "I want a big black horse." And she said, "You selfish, horrible, selfish little girl. You selfish little girl." And she had an episode, and she locked, this is not like my testimony the other night. This is my mother locking the car door, and my godbrother had gone off a cliff in Elsinore. He'd gone off a cliff, not on purpose. He had an accident, and he died. She said, "I'm taking you to where he died, where David died." and we're going off the cliff, you selfish, horrible girl. She said, that's it. You are so selfish. You want a horse. And then she listed all the things and she said, no. And I was terrified, freaked out, terrified, all that freaked out, angry, terrified, shaking, not born again. I had heard the name of Jesus. I prayed, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I prayed, God help me. And I was completely petrified. We get to the edge of the cliff and she stopped the car. No joke. But I got anger inside of me. I became an orphan that day. I became an orphan that day. I said, I will never ask anyone for anything. I will never ask anyone for anything. And this anger hit my spirit towards my mother. And some people say that's justifiable, but I'm just telling you my story. Anger hit me. My mother, who's weeping somehow. The only way it happened is God stopped that car. Amen. God stopped it. God put a brake. God did a miracle because God wanted me to live. He wanted me to live and not die. And so there she was crying, and then there was silence. The only person I ever told that story to was my sister. I would never dishonor my mother. I was born again, spirit-filled. I did a little forgiveness thing for my mom. And one day the Lord said, you have not forgiven her. I got the same thing happen to me over El Shabaab. I said, Lord, and I remember when the Lord said, you haven't forgiven her. I did. Do you ever argue with God, anybody? I argued with God. I did forgive her. I did forgive her. I did forgive her. Same thing with El Shabaab. I forgave them. I forgave them. I forgive them. And I didn't feel any love in my heart. I would go give my mother, if we ever left the field for like a couple of days, I'd go see my mom. My dad, he was easy to love. My mom, whew, not so much for me. I would give her a little hi, give her a present and run. God ripped all that pain out of me when I just came to the Lord and said, I need love, I need love, I need love, I need love. He put love in my heart for my mom. He put love in my heart. I went to my mom. I held her. I rocked her in my arms. I said, I love you. I forgive you. I because of that experience, do you know what happened? I was able to cast all the demons out of my mom. All of them. She was full of demons. I said, Mom, you're full of demons. You want to be free? Before that moment, I had no authority. It had been decades. I could not lead my mother or father to the Lord. In a moment, when the love of God hit me, I had authority to cast demons out of my mother. My mother was born again. My mother was set free from demons. My mother was filled with Holy Spirit, prayed in tongues. And after my father became an ordained minister at the age of 72. Yeah. After my father went home to Jesus, my mother became a missionary in Mozambique. Give him your little bread. Give him your bread. Say, what does he want to do? He wants to put love in your heart. So, back to Cowboy Rick here. What happened? He was there, and he pulled a real horse out of a trailer. What year was that, Rick? Do you remember? 2007 something, long time ago. Before, I don't know, it was a long time. The horse is getting old. Better ride her now. So he heard the Lord. He pulled a real horse out of the trailer. I got on that horse. You ready? I want to have you stand as I share this part because I feel like there's time. It's time for the harvest now. See, I got on that horse, and I remember it was a ballroom, and it was a parking lot. And I remember feeling like I needed to just go for it. And I went for it. I was so excited. I was bawling my eyes out. And he said, the Father never forgets. And I'm thinking, Father remembered a prayer that I had as a 12-year-old girl that I wanted a big black horse. And the Lord heard my prayer. And the Lord heard when I suddenly understood that the fishing pole had to go down. That we could ask one another for help, that we could hold a net together. The harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. In this story of John 6, that little boy, he saw the multitudes and he had a lunch and he just handed it to Jesus. Do you know how ridiculous that looked? Do you know how many people could mock him? If you imagine the billions of people that need to hear the gospel and the church that still, many of them are still orphaned like I was. I was in the church. I was born again. I was spirit-filled and I was still an orphan and I was bringing children from the garbage dump into an orphanage. And I was doing the best I could with all that it was within me. And Roland was doing the best he could. But we were exhausted and we were miserable and we didn't understand any of it. No, we did understand some of it. But then when the Father's love hit my heart, and the Father's love hit my heart, and He came and he loved on me. And he said, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I saw just this amazing impression of the Father. And he picked me up and he swung me around. And he just looked at me and he just said, I love you. I love you. And he just ripped out all that anger out of me. And he just loved on me. And he took away my orphan spirit. We don't have any more orphanages. Every child that we have brought in has a home of a loving believers. And the church is never meant to be an orphanage. It's a place, a home of loving believers. And it's a place where we have freedom to eat and drink and eat and drink. I started riding this horse called Baby. And I took off through the parking lot of that hotel. And I was galloping past and he was there and he's back. Why did he come back now? Why did he come back? Do you understand? It took him 3 days to get here. The axle broke on his truck. He didn't explain. He just said the Lord spoke to him that he needed to come all this way. It's going to be 3 days to get back. Probably slept in his truck. Do you understand me? There is something prophetic about this fact of what's happening today and why it's happening today. I didn't set it up. I didn't like cue Cowboy Rick. He came here because God spoke to him. He came there in Red Deer because God spoke to him. That was one of the most profound experiences I had in God in my whole life. It shifted everything. Do you understand God knows you and he loves you? And you cannot say, I'm never going to ask anyone for anything. Instead, you're going to put down the pole and pick up the nets because it's harvest time. I don't know if he knows this part, but somebody was taking pictures. I think it was, I don't know who it was. I was galloping. I wasn't looking at who was taking pictures in the truck. They took pictures. It was when there was still film. You know the film? It was double exposed. It was me riding, and it was white fields of harvest. This is a real, real picture. This really is a real picture. White fields of harvest, and I'm riding Baby, and there's white fields of harvest there in Canada. And then Double exposed is Malawi. Malawi, where that conference in Malawi, where we'd seen every kind of miracle you could imagine. I can't even remember if it was 5 or 7 blind, totally blind people healed, deaf people, crippled people healed, the poor fed, and we were feeding 30,000 people every day at that conference. That was when we used to have little faith. He's exploded it because we're not orphans. So now, I'm not kidding you, if he says, there are days he just tells me the number. I told you a little bit. He'll say, I want you to feed 10,000 people every day for this month. He'll tell. We go to prayer. We seek the Lord. We get in intercession. And then people will hear, like Leif's heard certain times, serve people, manna people, different. And then the containers of food start coming. Do you understand? We were giving people water from water bottles, and they're chasing us with their mouths open, and my heart was breaking. And the Lord said, he said, I want you to drill wells. And that's when the big drill rig started coming and the big blasters to blast through the rocks. My story matters. It's not a little missionary story. It's for you. It's for you in America. You serve a living God. You serve a live God. Not only are those people in Marangania our friends, nobody stones us anymore. The Lord said, if you would learn about honor, you would not get stoned. I don't get stoned now. They don't come after me with rocks, almost ever. I'm serious, almost ever. They sometimes get riled up, but I'm telling you, people speak to them about who I am. And who my team is, and the rocks don't fly because honor. There are several things I'm hitting on today. Honor is one of them. You only have authority where you have love. God put love in my heart for the Al-Shabaab. Before I had love for them, I hadn't reached one single one of those radicals. I hadn't reached one of them. Now, we're back in the prison. We're allowed back in the prison. They're coming to Jesus. They're knowing Jesus. I told you, 27,000 audio solar Bibles. We've done tens and tens and tens of thousands. But that's the shipment that just arrived from China. Come on. Do you hear the multiplication? Double exposed. I want you to raise your hands right now. Double exposed pictures. Me riding baby through these white fields of harvest, golden white fields. And the Malawian people. Interesting. It wasn't the Mozambican on the film. It was Malawian. This big conference we had. Double exposed. And the Lord said to me very clearly, he said, tell the church, it's time to ride. Tell the church, it's time to ride. Tell the church, the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. Speak to them to offer their little lives, their little lunches, their little everything at the feet of Jesus. And watch what he will do. Right now, is Melanie here? Yeah. Let's raise our hands. And let's worship with more than a song. Let's worship. Let's fix our eyes right now. Lift up your eyes. Here, right here in Minnesota. Right here, right here, right now. Lift up your eyes. We're going to sing. We're going to ride. Are you ready to ride? Are you ready to ride? They give Jesus your lunch. Then he says, I am the bread. He says, I am the bread. Eat, Jesus. Drink, Jesus. Eat, Jesus. Drink, Jesus. Maringanya now is where we have a university built. Where so many people of another faith are running to Jesus. Come on. Where the churches are full of worshipers. Oh, come on. You ready? You ready? You ready? This is how we're going to end today. I'm going to go, I'm going to ride, and I'm going to get on another plane, and I'm going to go back home to northern Mozambique, and I'm going to see a great and mighty harvest, and you are going to worship, and you are going to hand over your lunch, and you're going to look to the multitudes, and you are going to ride. You ready? You ready? You ready? So this is how we're doing it. Instead of laying hands on one another right now, we're going to hold hands and we're going to worship and we're going to look to Jesus, all of us holding hands and worshiping. And we're going to ride. We're going to ride together. There are chariots and there are horses and there are chariots, and we need to know what the Lord's saying. He's saying, take up a sword. It's mercy and justice. Take it with both hands. Release the reins to me. He wants you to release the reins. Jesus has the reins. Jesus has the reins. You don't control the revival. Jesus does. Hand Jesus the reins. Hand him the control. Hand him your lunch. Hand him your fish. Hand him your bread, hand him your lunch, whatever profession you are, whatever anointing you have, whatever gifting you have. Everyone in this place has something to hand Jesus. And now get your eyes off of you. Hold the hands of your brother and your sister. Lift your eyes up to the harvest. No, 4 months. Here it is. Here it is. I saw the chariots. I saw the saints of God. They had transparent bodies. There was no hidden sin in them. There was no hidden sin. There was no hidden sin. They were transparent. They were absolutely transparent. There was only one thing I could see of color in the saints of God. They were in chariots and they surrounded the entire globe. It wasn't one region. They surrounded an entire globe and the entire globe of the earth. And they had massive hearts, shoulder to shoulder hearts. He said, He spoke to me so clearly. It has to do with baby. It has to do with the spirit of adoption. It has to do with understanding. It's time for the nets. It has to do with forgiveness. It has to do with multiplication. It has to do with love. It has to do with trusting your brother and trusting your sister. It has to do with all of us going in team, 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 team. No more fishing poles, but nets. Get in the chariots. And the Lord in the vision, he put up his right hand and he said, now. There's another wave of the now. It's why there was so much warfare around Rick getting here and why he had to get here. For there's another wave of the now. There's another wave of the sons and daughters that are going to go to the ends of the earth. That are going to be fearless lovers of God with shoulder to shoulder hearts. They'll lay their little lives down at the feet of Jesus. That will die to self. Step into the chariots with a sword of mercy and justice. For those who will receive the love of Jesus, there's mercy, 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 mercy. pockets on the earth will be dark. People will slide into that darkness, but the word of the Lord says, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Now, I want you to pray for the one on your right and the one on your left, like your life depended on it. Pray, pray, pray. And you go up and in. 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 Up and in. Whatever he gives you, up and in, 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 up and in. Yes, Lord. Take her up. Roll. Give her the song, Lord. Give her the song. Give her the song. The chariot song.
Hallelujah.
The going for the gospel, Lord. Here we go. Pray, 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 pray. Hand over your lunch and pray. See the harvest. It's harvest time. 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 It's harvest time.
Thank you, Lord.
Shabba. I'm going because I'm going
right
now. It's harvest time. It's harvest time.
Lift your hands up. Lift your hands up. Father, we stand in agreement right now.
Yes, harvest time.
For Heidi's safety, wherever she may go.
Thank you. I'm going to receive that.
Mozambique, and for the anointing upon her life.
Thank you, Jesus.
To do more than even she ever saw or asked or thought. We thank you for multiplying the harvest that she will bring in. And we plead the blood of Jesus over her, her family, her ministry.
Yes.
And we thank you that we'll be able to rejoice again soon in the things that have transpired in Mozambique and in the things that are transpiring in our lives here. We thank you for showing each of us, Lord, what the impartations have been to us individually, each, this week. It's different for everyone depending on the call, depending on your life's situation. Help us to see what the impartations that have been made are and how we can embrace the anointings that have been imparted and see your will produced in our lives. We give you the praise and the glory for those deposits that have been made and the fruit that they will bear. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Now let's just give the Lord a good shout of praise for what we've been blessed with. Amen, 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 amen.